Invite you to be seated. I really hope all of you like mountains, because by the end of this sermon, you might be clamoring for some flat ground. I want to say to start off that I am very grateful to be preaching after Aaron and Samuel, because like you, I am rewarded hearing them express their thoughts about the goodness of God. Especially if they share something particularly rich, I can take it, steal it, reword it, and use it in my own sermon. I reflected back on the past 2 weeks' messages, and I realized that both Aaron and Samuel were hitting on some related topics. That faith and hope are mixed with the challenges of our weaknesses. That the power and vulnerability of the presence of God can overcome our limitations. And also that the life of God is a surprising mixture of receiving grace, but also welcoming the work. Their messages were inspiring to me because they were both reminders that we are not alone. Their openness to sharing about weaknesses and struggles in their own lives, it opens up a way for all of us to be honest about our own. I think we naturally figure out and excel at sharing celebration and joy in this place. But I am especially thankful that we are learning as a community to share the challenges too. So I want to keep up the trend, and I'm going to share a story about my own weakness. It's especially fresh in my mind because it happened about a month ago. Our dear friends, the Whitemans, invited Christy, the kids, and me to travel to Colorado with them to spend a week in the mountains. It was a very easy yes. The kids and I had never been to Colorado before. Christy and I love spending time outdoors and in nature, and we love Josh, Jen, Maddie, and Avery. One of the main activities that we had planned for our time there was to hike a 14er. Colorado has 58 peaks that rise above 14,000 feet at their summit. It's considered an accomplishment to do even one 14er. And of course, there are folks who have summited dozens, if not all of them. I'll give a bit of backstory for context. I've been focusing on my physical health for the past 9 months. It was actually on another hike with the Whitemans in Asheville back in October of 2022 that I realized I needed to make some changes. I actually followed through for once, and even though my end goal was a little ways off, as we went out to Colorado, I felt more physically ready and able than I had ever been, and I was ready to climb a mountain. And I was utterly wrong. You have to understand that for some folks, hiking a 14er is like stretching before their actual workout. There are people who do multiple 14ers in one day, and there's a person who has summited all 58 in only 72 days. I am not comparing myself to these folks. But I will be honest in telling you that I think summiting Huron Peak took everything that I had. It was probably the most physically and mentally challenging experience I've ever done. There were several different times as I was climbing that I did not think that I would make it to the top. But here's what I did. I urged myself to put one foot in front of the other, to keep moving forward, upward, even if I was doing so extremely slowly. And I was doing so extremely slowly. I could see Josh and Jen and Christy way up on the mountain, beckoning to come. As I pushed my body forward, I made peace with the huffing and the puffing. I knew it was going to ache all the way up and all the way down. I gave myself time to rest and to eat, and I also said a lot of cuss words. Now, just in case you're worried about my soul, I also prayed. I did. I asked God to give me the gift of making it to the top. As I pushed my body forward, I prayed over and over, "The Lord is with me." And it wasn't just an absent-minded mantra, but a reminder, not by myself. I also had the company of my wife and friends. They were kind of with me, but they did encourage me. They motivated me. And I really don't think I could have summited if I was doing it alone. But I made it. I reached 14,003 feet. And I was met with the most awe-inspiring beauty that I have ever seen in my life. For some people, that experience was literally just a Wednesday. But for me, it was transformative. I'm telling you this story because I know that there are many of you here who are facing struggles in life. You are tired and lonely. The days are difficult and long. Your heart and your body ache. You aren't entirely sure that God is with you. You sometimes want to stop climbing and just meet your friends back at the car. We know that there is beauty to be found if we make it to the top. But we are so overwhelmed by the work that it takes to summit or the challenging realities of our lives that we are severely limited from pressing forward. We also know that even if we do make it to the mountaintop, it's not like we can stay there. The moments of glory and awe are few and far between. For countless reasons, we have to climb back down to our real life. I understand all of these feelings, and I am not here today to tell you otherwise. Our lives are indeed lived in ordinary time. Ascending a mountain isn't just hard, but the reward is brief. But I wholeheartedly believe that God has chosen all throughout his story and ours to place these beacons on high places because they can serve as reminders for us as we live our days on the ground. And I do believe that it is worth trying to summit because there are, without doubt, transformative experiences awaiting us. So, as I promised, let's take a quick stroll through some mountains in Scripture and see how the meeting of humanity and divinity can make its mark. Our story begins on a mountain in the Garden of Eden. Contrary to what you might have imagined, our first home was not in a valley or a plain. It's not a stretch to believe that we used to walk with God in the cool evenings of a mountain glade. It was on this mountain that we first turned from God, ran away, hid from him, broke communion with each other and with the world. But it was also in Eden that God first searched for us, made a covering for our shame and promise amidst the curse. Since losing Eden, we have always been looking up, and God has always been making sensational demonstrations for us, always partnering our work to climb with revelations about who he is. We see this on Mount Ararat, where Noah's ark made rest after the flood. From this mountain, a new type of Eden emerged, along with a promise from God for his people to once again be fruitful and multiply. What did Abraham learn atop Mount Moriah? That his God was not like the false gods of the world who asked for ritualistic human sacrifice. No, our God stops violence with an angel shout and provides a ram, a male lamb, to end all violence. What of Moses atop Mount Sinai? A man speaking to God face to face as with a friend, transformed in that meeting in such a way that he had to hide his face behind a veil so as not to terrify the Israelites. Here, God's people would receive the revelation of God's law and justice, but both would eventually be fulfilled in the one who would remove the veil. We cannot forget the prophet Elijah and the victory of God on Mount Carmel. Here we see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob demonstrate that he alone is the Most High God. And for those of us who know him and love him and trust him, this isn't a display of power that leads to fear, but of worship, just like the people who exclaimed when they saw the fire come down upon the altar, "The Lord, he is God." All of these mountain experiences were spectacular, so I want to share even more. What can we say about the Mount of Calvary? Here we see our Lord, our Savior, and our friend demonstrating most clearly the face of God. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father, and that means that the Father is love, humility, and forgiveness. Then we move to Mount Olivet. After Jesus' resurrection, he stands atop the mount and he announces that he is ascending and sending. In going to the Father, he is fulfilling the promise to unite us to God, to plant a human body in the soil of heaven that will grow into the new creation. And he will send the seed of his Holy Spirit to begin a cultivating work here in the world through his church. Finally, in John's revelation, we read of a vision of the city of God, Mount Zion, descending into the new creation so that the triune God might once again at the end, but paradoxically at the very beginning of all things, dwell with his people in fullness again. God constantly shows himself in his power upon the mountains because they stand as the immovable rock of memory. They beckon us to climb again and again to meet with him. This is what we see in the Transfiguration. Jesus has invited his followers, his friends, to ascend the mountain where he shows them who he really is. In a spectacle of glory and a voice from heaven, this is the Son of God. Listen to him. And what does Jesus say? He speaks with Moses and Elijah about his departure. Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, where he will climb the mount of the cross for us and for the world. Jesus institutes upon that summit, upon the cross, a place where we can always meet with him in the fullness of his grace and his mercy. And this glorious meeting can be our help when we face our own weaknesses, our own brokenness, our own suffering. We can look to the hills from which our power comes. And we can remember that Jesus always climbs the mountain first and stands at the summit to greet us. Mountains are vital to the story of God. And there is good news. We don't have to be envious of these stories in Scripture as if we have missed something, as if these experiences were only meant for a specific few privileged individuals. It is not true that we can only look back and recollect how God used to meet with his people. You see, we have been given our own summit for this time and this place. There is a hill that we can ascend every week that leads us into the very presence of Jesus. The altar is our mountain. And Jesus invites us to come and see and take and eat every Sunday. And just like Moses was changed with his encounter with God, we are likewise changed when we ascend this hill of worship. We are in a mysterious way transformed from glory to glory, not so that we would build tents in this place of experience, but that we would be changed and descend the mountain to meet those who are waiting for a word, waiting for a guide, waiting for God. When we come forward to the altar mount, we receive all manner of gifts, blessing, forgiveness, daily bread, encouragement for tomorrow. But even more astounding, we ourselves are transformed into something beautiful and elevated. In the past, it is true, meeting with God was reserved for a select few. But now, since Christ himself has been lifted up, he is drawing all people to himself. The Transfiguration drew a handful, but this altar table invites all. The barriers have been broken down. If you've been baptized into Christ and exclaim him Lord, then you can come forward and feast. Are you just hearing about this mountain for the first time? Then come forward and be blessed. There is room for all. But you should know, just like climbing a physical mountain, ascending to this altar requires everything that you have to give. Your hearts, your minds, your souls, and your bodies. It requires sacrifice and longing. No one can compel you to move forward, but all are welcome. And you will be richly rewarded. Not like I was, with an astounding view that can't be conveyed with a picture, and over time the memory of which will fade. No, atop this mountain, you will meet with the living God who promises to dwell with you forever and ever. But there's more. I want to say to you all that as highly as I praise and prize the Eucharist, I recognize that even in this revelation and invitation, the truth remains. Sometimes the altar mount is not enough. It makes for a triumphant Sunday, but what are we supposed to do every other day? With all of this talk of mountains, I would be remiss to not mention God's most remarkable peak. Jesus' transfiguration was a foretaste of not just his own glory, but a shared future that all of the cosmos longs to participate in. Remember, God is often like to reveal his glory on mountains. He did it on Sinai. He did it on Tabor. He did it on Calvary. But now in our present time, he's choosing to use something new. Jesus has chosen to transform and elevate you. And you. And you. By his work upon the Mount of Golgotha, he has made all of you into the mountaintop upon which his glory will now be revealed. God has made us a place where humanity and divinity meet. Because of that, we can wake up every day and stand firm with the promises of God, receiving the sun, the wind, the snow, and the rain in all due seasons. We can learn to know that the Spirit is our bedrock. And over time, I believe we can become resolute and immovable, firm and faithful people. But we are a special type of mountain because we also move. We can become a path for others to ascend to God. We can be a reminder of his work and his presence. We can be a witness to each other in our times of adulation and also struggle that God still remains. We can gather together as innumerable peaks like the mountains of Colorado. Just as Moses was transformed in the presence of God, so shall we be too. God is constantly inviting us to meet with him. He waits at the summit, the altar mount, and the mount of your heart. Will you ascend these hills to meet with God today? Will you be transformed into his likeness for your good and the good of the world? All it takes is the willingness to put one foot in front of the other, to be willing to ache and maybe cuss and huff and puff, to feast and to rest. And finally, let me ask this of you. Regardless of whether you are at work or at rest, no matter if you're at the trailhead or the summit, even if you are excitedly ascending or begrudgingly descending, pray. Not as a rigid rule, but rather a gentle, encouraging reminder, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me.